How many of you received that prayer? Amen. So let's go ahead and go to Psalm 34 and verse 4. I'm reading the King James Bible. How to overcome fear. Overcoming fear of the future. Psalm 34 and verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. Not just some of them, not just the hard ones, but all, every one of them. The Bible says one of my favorite scriptures is found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, part of Paul's prayer. He said, I thank my God for these things. And verse 13, he says, he has delivered me. He's not going to, he has delivered me in Christ. Say, in Christ, I am delivered. He says, he has delivered me from the power of darkness. That word power means the authority. You know, the devil had authority over you. He has delivered me from the authority, the dominion. Or we looked at it this way last Wednesday. The word authority has this connotation, and it has one of the meanings of authority is control. Everybody say control. So some people don't know they have control over fear. If you have anxiety attacks like I had, I used to have anxiety attacks. I didn't know why they were there. I didn't know where it came from. I only thought about, people said you could get rid of it with pills. Nerve pills, they used to say when we were younger, in the 70s, 80s. Nerve pills. That means they give you a pill and you'll calm down. And so I thought that's the way you do it. I had no answer. And so I suffered anxiety for a long, long time, many, many years. I suffered, they call it post-traumatic ingestion. You swallowed some fear or something. Post-traumatic something, you know, disorder or whatever you call it. And now they got, here's what Brother Moore said, you know, they got names for every devil you can mention. They have to create every kind of name for, I mean, that might sound funny, and sounds funny, but it's true. Like, you know, I was reading on somebody's post yesterday. They said that they have, now they have this kind of long terminology about what they got. Why they're afraid of living, and why they're afraid of future, and so on. Well, we don't want to make light of that. I thank God that they have some kind of explanation for people. But I want to tell you how to get rid of it. Therapy didn't work. It helped some. I thank God for the therapy I received. Somebody said, you should have received more. I'm trying to get my therapy. Pastor Ken is not doing a good job. And tell me, I get all my therapy from Pastor Ken. He helps me out. We have a great time. We called his brother yesterday. We got a buddy system, yes, sir. We had a great time. Good to have friends, amen? Amen? Pastor Ken's my friend. God sent him here for me. He brought his family with him. Praise God, amen? amen. So anyway, you know, I want to just say this. You know, he says, I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. That's the end of my message, folks. Everybody say this together. Say, I sought the Lord. And he delivered me from all my fears. See, I sought the Lord, and he's going to deliver me. Huh? He promised to deliver me. Huh? You see, this is the way people are reading this. That's the way they're living. See? I sought the Lord, and he might do it. Some of the bigger ones. See, you have to deal with this from the biblical standpoint. So, I sought the Lord. He's delivered me. Or he said, he delivered me. I want you to understand something, this man's plight. The psalmist was writing this thing, we define fear we'll talk about it a little bit more in definition, but we define fear as losing something valuable. When people fear something, they're afraid something's going to be taken away from them, or they can't have what they want. It all happened in the Garden of Eden. People, I'm afraid I'm going to die. I'm going to lose my life. I'm going to lose my car. I'm going to lose my boyfriend. I'm going to lose my girlfriend. Perhaps you might have to lose that girlfriend. Get a new one while you got a chance. You know, sometimes we think, you know, oh, if I lose her, I saw somebody's Facebook, if I lose her, she's my life. Well, Jesus, what happened to Jesus? He's your life. Yet he'll fix somebody just for you. And sometimes, you know, we get in the way. Anyway, that's just preaching, though. Anyway, out of my own head. Anyway, here's an idea I want to propose to you this morning. Here's the punchline of the message. Knowing God and knowing how much he loves you will dispel and drive away every fear from your life. You say, can you repeat that over? I don't know what I said there. Knowing God and knowing how much he loves you will dispel or drive away every fear or all fears from your life. That's why it's so important, as this woman testified, to know the scripture. There's a lot of people that claim they know God. They make claims about the Bible. They say all kinds of junk about the Bible. And you can tell they don't know God. They say a lot of stuff. You know, if you read people's opinions about ministers and about Brother Hagin, especially about Copeland, it'll drive you crazy if you listen to those people like that. Don't even read it. That's why when people, if you send me a bad letter from here and you leave this church and you send me, I'll never read it. I've got letters in there that I received and years ago people left. I haven't read them yet. I kept them. I want to show them to God when I get to heaven. And so anyway, God's the same, right? So listen, do you have fears about what's going to happen in your future? When you understand that God has made a wonderful plan for you and for your future and everything else that includes your life, every fear is going to pass away. The prophet Jeremiah said this, and you're going to consider this. I hope you consider this. And then NET Bible, the New English Translation for all you guys that are English. He said, I know, this is Jeremiah 29:11, and many of you read the scripture, I know what I have planned for you. He's telling the people there that's in trouble. And I told you about David when he wrote to Psalm 34 and the trouble he was in. God was going to make him the king, or God has already ordained that the fact that he's going to be king, and somebody else was there trying to steal away what he rightfully is supposed to have. And he never did anything to strike back. He didn't do anything to oppose what someone was trying to take away from him. He said, I'm going to let God take care of that. And so he's running away. Of course, he's trying to stay alive. And the king was going to kill him and so on. And so he couldn't go anywhere. He had no escape. Isn't that how fear is? You know, you can't escape, run away anywhere. So Jeremiah says, I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you. Did you know that you have prosperity in your future? That you're not going to run out of finances? I said, you're not going to run out of finances. Well, you say, well, I don't have any. Well, you better find out what God's plan is then. He says, not to harm you. God He's not going to plan to harm you and make you sick and cut your life short and take away your children, take away your house, make you cripple and let, you know, go into mental hospital and just be stuck in there. No, God doesn't have that written in his book. You know, he wrote a book. Psalm 139, I believe it is, talks about in there somewhere that there is a plan that God had written for you a long time ago. He's already planned all the victory. I have plans to give you, notice this, a future and a hope, a future filled with hope. Everybody say, I have a future filled with hope. Now, the Apostle Paul says this. Amplified Bible says, Ephesians 2:10, the Amplified says this. The Apostle says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. You know, we should all have a sweater. Or not a sweater, but a t-shirt right now. That says, under construction. You know, God's not finished with you, and God has a place for you. Huh? God has a, he has gifts that you need to start using to be a blessing. Isn't that wonderful? So he says, his handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ. In other words, God did something when you came to Jesus. He recreated you. Born anew, Amplified says, that we may do those good works. So you can look forward for doing some good things. Maybe your past was bad and you did a lot of bad things, but there's some good things that you're going to do now. Which God predestined or planned beforehand. You know, a good parent will do his best or do their best to plan good things for their children. If you know God, he's going to plan some really good things for you, for you to get involved in. Amen? Some people say, well, I'm going to plan my kids. You know, they're going to go, become an Olympic star or something. We'll take them skating or something. We'll take them to singing lessons. Or we'll put them in hockey and we'll do our best. We'll work four jobs and we'll make him sure he has hockey equipment. And we do our best to do whatever we can to help our kids, right? Amen. You know, one of my daughters she sent us some messages yesterday. She said, my credit card is not working, so I got to phone and make sure the credit card's working that I'm going to have to pay. she's in LA doing music. She was doing some, this week she's with her manager and they're doing some visiting. Studios or whatever, but God has a plan for her. Amen. She might not know yet, but she's going to be doing music full-time one of these days in this church, you know. She's just being trained right now, praise God, amen. Hannah said yesterday, you know, she's doing some work. She's got two or three jobs too, and we do Bible studies every night in my house. And she says, you know, I want to see my kids. I want my kids to be hockey players. I guess you saw. Said, how many of you watched some of this? My wife said, "Isn't hockey ever over?" There's a tournament in the out west. There's a tournament. Junior players, you know, it's some kind of a under 18 championship. I watch whatever. I even watch reruns, 1970s. Anybody ever played back to 70s music sometime in the radio? I good to listen to. A little tear comes down. Remember how nice it was in the past, eh? But anyway, it's not going to kill you. Don't really look at me like that. So you know, God has planned this. He says, planned before him for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us. Well, thank God he's done all that already. He's already done it. The Bible says that God has a book, And everything that he wants for you is in that book. Your name is actually written in heaven before you were born. I said, your name was written in heaven before you were born. I want to repeat that again. Your name was written in heaven before you were born. All of his creation is written there. And if you reject Jesus, it's taken out. You know, some people say, let's get saved and get our name written. No, it's already written there. Your name is written. But, you know, thank God that he didn't plan any future. So if you fail, it's because you did it. So our future looks really good in God, in Christ. But many are living without God, living without the plan of God, living for themselves. Perhaps that's why many people are so fearful. They're walking alone, doing it alone. They're trying to do what they think. They're doing their own thing. It's nice to go to bed at night knowing that God's already done. And you're trying to stay, coordination with his steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, Psalm 37, says that God has ordained our steps. You know, thank God for that. So many people are looking to the future with fear and trepidation because there are many unknowns in their lives. For example, some fear of getting old. You ever fear of getting old? You've never had one that one time. I had. I just say, man, I'm getting old. Well, you can't stop the process. Everybody's getting old. But I'm not afraid of it now because... who was it? Pierre Burton? Anybody remember Pierre Burton? He was. He said, for people who said that the golden ears are the golden ears, they got to be kidding. The golden ears. Okay. Anyway, people are fear about getting old. They're afraid to change a job or getting a new job. They're afraid to change a career. They might make a wrong move. They're afraid of changing a location, relocating, buying a new house, or whatever it is. They're afraid of lots of stuff. They're afraid of the turbulent economic times in the world. They're afraid of the world conditions. You watch television, you see, all the leaders get together in the summit and talk about, what we're going to do. Shall we make war? Shall we make peace? Who can we cut off this year? Who can we block? And so they talk about that. They're afraid that it will worsen. They're afraid of lack of employment in their area. They're afraid of not having enough money to spend, trying to make ends meet. They're afraid about the social, economic, drug problems in their communities. And they're afraid of what's going on in their city. They're afraid of the nation's going down. They're afraid of a lack of resources to handle all the issues in our nation. People are afraid of these things. They're piling up. Aren't they piling up here? Many fear the erosion of our value systems and our family and the diminishing of our identity as who we are as Canadians or who we are as Christians. And what the case may be, we need to face these things with the Word of God. God has taken care of these things. I have friends, they write to me some of my friends are in China, he was telling me they're actually burned down churches and they're beating the pastors and so on. Thank God we don't have that in our city. We don't have that in here. So the people there, they don't have this democratic, what we call a democratic society. You can build a ministry if you want to and put a sign on there, call it church or ministry. You can't do that in Quebec. You can't do that. You can't build a church in Quebec. Pretty quiet. And it's different there. I have friends who try to have a church there. They can't have a church like we can have church here. It's different. Society is different. So it's a different situation over here. So we think about we living in this world here in our city, in the area, we think about, all the freedoms. We don't even appreciate what we actually have. There's so much we got. I can go kill a rabbit if I'm hungry, and even if it's in your yard, if I'm starving. So, what is fear? Since I'm doing a message, and my definition primarily at this moment is going to be from the spiritual side of things, but it affects the natural as well. The Bible says fear is a spirit. There's a spirit working in this world called Antichrist. That means against Christ, against the Bible, against the word, against whatever the Bible teaches. Antichrist, that's what it means. And there are spirits that are at work right now. It affects our mental, our emotional realms of our being, our mind, our emotions. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this: "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." You'll see that also in Romans chapter 8. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, spirit of a sound mind. Everybody say, my mind is my mind. See, you know, people get attacked in their minds, and they're afraid. All of a sudden, they're afraid. They can't control their thinking. You can control your thinking if you want to. This is that you don't know that you don't, some people never told you, give you permission, you can control your mind. You know, unless you have something physically wrong, you need some healing, then you need physical healing and different things like that. So I'm talking about the average person out there, you know, that's just, you're sane. How many of you are sane? Is there insane people here? Well, if you wouldn't admit it, you'd say, well, we'll just pray for you. I was defined as insane. You know, there's some people that are killing themselves. That the hospital's not going to, you know, they're not going to define you as being insane. If somebody takes drugs and they're shoving needles in their bodies, somewhere, anywhere they can find a vein, and they're losing everything, and doing it, they're going to die. The doctor says you're going to die, and they keep doing it. Wouldn't that be a sane to do that? You're out of your mind. But not the doctors up here. You go to the mental hospital. They say, no, you're okay. You can kill yourself if you want to. I think they need to be insane. They're insane. I told the doctors over here at the hospital, I said, you know, this is crazy. This definitely, just because we don't have any kind of, you know, you don't have illusions of whatever it is, you know, like you're not hearing voices. If you don't hear voices, then he said, you're okay. So anyway, put that in your hand for a while. But anyway, so definition of fear, Bible says is a spirit. But you can find definition. You can find a definition in the Bible, in dictionary. Definition says that fear is an emotion. that happens once in a while. Tell them I'm not here. That's why you got to put it on silent. Okay, put your phones on silent. If you don't, we're gonna have a guy squirted you with a gun, a water pistol gun. So should I finish this message or what? Okay. So anyway, so God has not given you that spirit. You know, He put in you a Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And so there, you know, we have. God's not going to give you a spirit of fear. So, for example, David and Saul's story in 1 Samuel 16, the Bible says, Saul's servant said unto Saul, behold, there's, or at least the Bible says that different in different verses there, but in verse 15, you know, see 16 and 32 or 36, he said, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubles him or troubles Saul. Well, God didn't send an evil spirit to Saul. He don't have any evil spirits. So you have to read the Bible, how it's written, how it was, you know, in the King James, sometimes the It's a permissive sense it's written, not a causative rather than a permissive sense. And if you don't understand God, you don't understand the structure of the Bible, you'll think that God sent that actual spirit. You have to study the scriptures. That's why you have to come to Bible school. And understand how these things, how it's written. You know, if someone said something, this lady, if someone told me this woman here was out robbing banks, I would never believe it. I would say she's at her back of her house, she's selling drugs out of her house, she's selling pills. How many of you would believe it? Well, no, I'm serious. But you know, this thing about with God, you say God is sending evil spirits to people? God's not sending no evil spirits from people just as much as she doesn't steal drugs from the back of her house. You know her character. You know her. If you understand the Bible and interpret the Bible the way you're supposed to, then you understand this. Now, if Pastor Ken was selling the drugs, that'd be a different story. You're kind of a, well, he does have a nice house. And he's got that, you know, they said, whenever a preacher has, people, you know, they're prospering, they say, I bet you the guy's selling drugs. Eh? He drives up in a nice Cadillac, he's probably selling drugs, that guy. There's other ways of being prosperous. That means you work. And God blesses you. You know, definition of fear from the dictionary, as we mentioned, is that fear is a distressing emotion caused by impending danger, pain, threat. Whether it's real or imagined, your fears are hurting you right now. They might not even be real. They might not be real, but they're free. You're like this in your room. It's all in your head, some of these things. And so people, and the devil comes along and tells you all kinds of junk, and you believe him sitting there in your room trembling. You could be enjoying yourself eating cherries somewhere, going to the CLE or whatever. Psalm 34:4 says, he's delivered us from all fears. He's delivered us. He delivered us. He said, he's delivered me from all my fears. Well, if he delivered, you know, David from all his fears, surely he's going to deliver us from our fears. He's no respecter of persons. If we follow God and walk with him, he'll deliver us no matter what it is. God has already delivered us from fear. According to Psalm 91, it says that no evil will occur because God will protect us if we stay in his will. If we stay in his will and continue to stake our faith and our confession in him. Let's go ahead and read Psalm 91, verse 1. This is a good reading for you because some of you don't read your Bibles. Those who live, this is the NLT, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Second verse. This I declare. Everybody say, I declare this. Say, I say this. Say, I confess this. So this is what you have to say. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust in him. Trusting in God equals or is tantamount to putting your faith in God or having faith in God. You cannot trust God if you don't have faith in God. So he must know something about God to trust God. He said, I trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. You know, it's good, especially if you visit hospitals all the time, like some of us. They tell us, you know, and I'm sitting there half an hour, I'm visiting someone, you know, they're all up there. They got all kinds of stuff running through them and blood everywhere and spit everywhere, and I'm there and I'm sitting there, but about half an hour after, the nurses come in, you know, just, you can't be in here, you got to be dressed with these clothes on. After an hour or half an hour sitting there, and then all of a sudden I'm getting scared. What's going on here? Deadly disease, it says here. He'll rescue you from every trap, and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. How many of you know that God has feathers? Apparently he's got feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. That's your protection there. Get into the word. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that flies by day. They got a new movie called, what is that show called again? Slender Man. Look it up. Slender Man. I told, it's a terror movie, and I told, you know, one day we're watching this news thing on, I think it's Dateline or something. Show of some kids, you know, they got involved. They thought this story that someone wrote, a memoir or some diary of somebody, he wrote about the Slender Man, and these kids thought it was real. So they got involved in that. But, you know, people write stories. Thank God that there's no Slender Man. Thank God for that. But it's all in their head. Anyway, let's carry on, guys. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 are dying, 10,000 dying all around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, even if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. It says, if you make the Most High your shelter. No evil will conquer you. You know, it's because people are doing things on their own. They don't ask themselves, is this right for me to live this way? Is it right if I drink this thing? If I don't right to see this, whatever, and go over here and do this, you know? But God's word says. You know, not to be afraid of losing money. The Bible tells us, you know, a lot of times we think, you know, sometimes, you know, we've given away our last money. There's times we give away. We give because someone needed it. They'll said, no, you're run out now. Even in the church. We're going to give $5,000 to another church. I mean, we don't give $5,000 every church. Come on now. And because we have a relationship many years with these pastors that are working together. And we don't give money to people, fellowship people, who are built churches for 2 years and they fall and they mess around and then do the things over and over for years and years. We're not going to invest in that. We want to invest in people who have longevity, proven themselves in the ministry, and so that we know they're going to carry on. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes people, they ask that. So anyway, we're going to help somebody over here. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Okay, no plague or evil will come near your home. He will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't hurt your foot on the stone. You will trample on the lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. That's demons and evil spirits. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. They'll call upon me and I will answer. And I'll be with them in trouble. And I will rescue them and honor them. And I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. I put on my Facebook the other day, somebody acquaintance there that was on a plane, and the plane crashed, and it destroyed the plane, and he used the name of Jesus. He had his on his phone. He said, in the name of Jesus, and the plane didn't crash. I mean, didn't kill anybody. And so because he said, I'll rescue them who know my name. We sang about the name, and the girl sang the name. So no fears. Psalm 34:4 says all fears. That means no more fear of any kind. No more insecurity. No more phobias. No more fears of attacks. No more fear of economic pressures or lack. No more fears about your children. You know, the world will train us, or has trained many of us growing up, to fear, to have fear and worry. Worry about this, worry about that. Many have said, if you don't worry about me, you don't really care about me. Psalm says here, don't be troubled by anything, it says in John. Don't be troubled by anything. Do not let your heart be troubled or afraid or cowardly. Believe confidently in God and trust in Him and have faith and hold on to it. Rely on it. Keep going and believe also in me. I believe that's Psalm 16 or 14, 27. John 14:1 says, peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world give it, do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. John 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. God is talking. Jesus is talking. He says, do not be afraid. Everybody say, I will not be afraid. So don't expect bad things to happen to you. Expect good things to happen to you in your life. So it says in there, let me read it again. It says, John chapter 1, verse 1, peace I leave with you. You know that peace he's talking about, that you can't get that anywhere. You can't get that from a pill. You can't get that from counseling. You can't get that anywhere in the world. Only Jesus can give this kind of peace. I was thinking about Trina Hinkins. You know, Trina Hinkins, anybody, if you remember Trina Hinkins, you know, Mark's wife, she sings, you know, she was raising, mom and dad raised them in church. She suffered really bad with bad allergies. She almost died, can't breathe. She was just suffering really bad, just a teenage girl. Anybody ever had bad allergies? You can't breathe, you can't look, you can't even see. This girl, yeah, Pastor Ken one day came into my office going like this. Anyway, she's believing God for her healing. She quotes scripture all night. All night. Some people say, I want to get healing, and they just slap a couple of scriptures together, quote them a couple of 3-4 times. And just get somebody to lay hands on them. They say, okay, yeah, that's over. It's over now. No, you got to stand sometimes for quite a while. And fight the good fight of faith. Fight your mind. Fight your emotions. Fight the will of your will to quit. And she got healed from allergies that was killing her. And then, after church one Sunday night, she said, I got a headache. And she fell over and lost consciousness and went to the hospital. They told her that you have inoperable cancer. You got brain cancer. You're going to die. You have a huge size of a golf ball, or bigger than a golf ball, in your head. And you got a cancer in your brain where we cannot operate. You're going to die. So Mark Hinkins said, he didn't let anybody go into that hospital room except for faith people. When Jesus went to heal people, he kicked people out of the room. It's only, John and Peter and James. He just let those guys in, because you want to have prayer with people who just kind of are on the edge. They might believe you, they might not believe. You want people of faith. And that's why people get scared, because you don't have people with faith around you. So they said they're going to check her out, and they checked her out. And they were going to have an operation, and they were singing. They said, well, how come these guys are singing in this room? This lady's dying. They're singing songs of praise. Anyway. They said there. Oh, you know, we're going to have this operation. We have to check her out and open her up, and we got to do this and that. She might have some disability. If this works, she'll have disability for sure. And we'll do this and that. And they went to their checking to see what's going on. They said, we don't understand it. This is gone. There's no cancer there. You know? They quote scriptures all night. They're singing songs, praising God, while there's a big mass in her head. She's praising. They're all praising God, singing songs of praise, thanking God for his healing. He has delivered us. He has delivered us. You know, when in your toughest times, when you're in fear, the toughest times you fear, you could take a scripture and you start singing songs to God and say, thank God you've already done it for me. Your book is written for my children. You know, I don't see this. I don't see that happening, you know, in our lives. I see, this is what I see. Devil, here's what I see. I see myself delivered. So we have to see ourselves, what God has provided for us in his scriptures. So, I'm going to close right here because it's 12 o'clock. We need to, the Bible says right here, John 12:1, do not be afraid. Jesus said, do not be afraid. And you can read all, there's a whole bunch of scriptures I could give you. Let me just read a couple of them and we shut it out. Psalm 27:13. Where would I be if I did not believe, New English says, I would experience the Lord, that I would experience the Lord's favor in the land of living. Where would I be if I had never trust God? Where would you be? So, you know, when we have hope, the Bible says hope is about the future. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 talks about hope comes before your faith. And we need to be able to have that hope, to trust. Expect, you know, hope is expecting, you know, expecting of your future in a good way. So we have to expect that God has this in control. Let me, one more scripture, we close. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect fear casts out all out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In other words, being made perfect in love is growing up, understanding about loving, how loving your God is. When we walk with God, understanding him, that he has a perfect plan for you, there's nothing but good in your life. Amen. You will not die with disease. You will die when you're ready. You say, thank God, I'm ready to go home, Lord. I'm satisfied. Right? You know, we want to do that. We want to believe God. You don't have to die of sickness. Just say, Lord, I'm ready to go right here. Thank God. Let's trust that. Let's believe that. The Bible says the old patriarchs, they just said, like, here's Jesus. Let's go. Let's go ahead and stand up. Say, I'll fear no evil. Say, God's taking care of my future. I put my hope in him. He's done a fine job already. I believe him. I believe my future looks really, really bright. Thank God. There's nothing but good things in my future. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We want to thank you this morning that there's good things you planned for us. You said there's good things you planned for us. There's no disaster. There's no destruction in our future. There's no pain in our future. There's no quitting. There's no loss in our future. Thank you, Lord God, for putting us in your kingdom and planning a good life for us. Now, Lord, thank you for those today that do not have assurance. They do not have an idea that God has a wonderful plan for them. And we pray in this service, those sitting here and standing here with us and those that are at home, for those folks that do not have assurance about their future. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray as a church, as individuals, we give our lives. We pray the prayer of submission and dedication to you. We pray the prayer of repentance to you. We pray, God, without you, I'm nothing. Where would I be without you? We pray that I need you. I need your salvation. I need salvation. Come in my life. I give you my life. I give you my heart. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Deliver me from the fear of the future. I'll spend every day with you, and in eternity. I'll walk with you in this life and on to eternity when we pass over the other side. Thank you today that my future is in your hands. And you've done a great deal of good things for my future you plan. So I'm looking and I'm expecting good things to happen in my future. I thank you that I'm born again because I made Jesus Christ just now the Lord of my life. I call upon the name of the Lord. You said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to assure everyone who has called upon the name of the Lord this morning. You said, Jesus, you're my Lord, my Savior. Is there somebody here right now that says, you know, I want to come to Jesus. 100%, I want to make Jesus my Lord. I want to make a public profession. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I believe that if I would step out of the aisle, stand with you, Pastor, Brother Roma, I believe I come to you right now, I will be saved. I'm going to make my choice a strong choice. If there's somebody right here, everybody bow your head. I'm going to wait for a second. If that's you, come stand right here with me and I'm going to pray with you. Close your eyes, everybody. Somebody here that said, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Anybody here that would say, Jesus, I want to come to you. Anybody? Thank you, Lord. And if you made that prayer this morning, you are now born again. You are now saved. Thank you, Jesus. If there's somebody here that said, I want to do it. Okay. If you made that prayer, and if you want someone to talk to you, I'll be here. The staff will be here to pray with you in the name of Jesus. There's somebody here this morning that says, Pastor, I need to pray. I've got sickness in my body. I want you to agree with me by laying your hands on me so that I'll be well. Is there somebody here right now? Just get up out of your chair. I want to lay hands on you and pray for you right now. Somebody here. No one like that here. If somebody right here, you want $100, I want to give it to you right now. I promise to give it to you sometime in the by and by. Amen. Everybody lift that hand and say, thank God that everybody's saved. Everybody's delivered here. There's no sick people in this house. There's no unstable people in this house. We're the prosperous ones. We're the delivered ones. We're the happy bunch. Amen. All right. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. See you Wednesday, Tuesday night. Hallelujah.